Welcome to this beginner Ableton Lev 12 lesson on pulling off a jungle arp without losing headroom. If you make drum and bass, especially jungle-inspired atmospheres, you already know the vibe: fast motion, tension, width, and that eerie rolling energy that fills the space before the drop. But arps can get out of hand really fast. Too many notes, too much brightness, too much reverb, and suddenly your mix is eating headroom before the drums even get to speak. So in this lesson, we're going to build a jungle-style arp that sounds exciting, but stays controlled, mix-ready, and safe for your kick, snare, and sub. We'll keep it beginner-friendly and use stock Ableton devices the whole way. First thing, open a blank project in Ableton Live 12. Before you even make the sound, get into the right mindset. Don't chase loudness yet. A good working target is to keep your master peaking around -6 dB while you build. That gives you room to think, room to arrange, and room for the track to breathe. In drum and bass, that headroom matters a lot because the drums and bass need to land hard. If the arp is too loud, it starts stealing the impact from everything else. Now let's create the synth source. Add a MIDI track and load Waveeatable. You could do this with analog or operator too, but Waveeatable is a great starting point because it gives you a modern tone that's easy to shape. Start simple. Use a saw wave on oscillator 1. On oscillator 2, try a square or another saw and attune it slightly. Keep the unison low, maybe 2 to 4 voices max. We do not want a giant super saw here. That might sound huge in solo, but in a jungle track it can eat the mix alive. Set a low pass filter with moderate resonance. Give the amp envelope a quick attack, short decay, and medium release. Keep the overall level moderate, not slammed. The idea is to make a tight, musical source that the arp can move around, not a huge wall of sound. Now add the arpeggiator MIDI effect before Waveeatable. A solid starting point is style set to up, rate at 1/16, gate somewhere around 35-55%, retrigger on, and hold off for now. Keep the octave distance tight, maybe 1 octave max. If you want a more liquid movement later, you can try up down. If you want more chaotic jungle energy, random can be fun. But for now, keep it clean and predictable so you can hear how the mix behaves. Now let's write the MIDI. You can make this as simple as a minor triad, like A, C, and E, or even just a single root note if you want the arp to create the motion on its own. For a two-bar loop, try one chord in the first bar and a slightly different one in the second bar to create a little tension. For example, a minor moving to F or G depending on the mood you want. The important part is this: keep the harmony simple. The arp is already providing motion. You do not need to overload the MIDI clip with a huge chord stack. In fact, less is usually better here, because it keeps the rhythm clear and the low mids under control. Now we shape the tone with auto filter. Add auto filter after the instrument, before any delay or reverb. Start with a low pass 12 or 24 dB filter. Set the cutoff somewhere around 1.5 kHz to 4 kHz, depending on how bright the patch is. Keep resonance low to medium, and if needed, add a little dry very gently. This is where the atmosphere starts to come alive. In an intro, you can keep the cutoff lower for mystery. As you move toward a drop or transition, automate the cutoff upwards so the arp opens up. But remember, in drum and bass, excitement often comes from movement, not just brightness. If the arp gets too shiny, it starts fighting the hats, cymbals, and snare crack. Next, clean up the low end with EQ8. Add EQ8 after the filter. High pass the arp around 150 to 300 Hz in most cases. If the patch is thick, go higher. You want this layer to live in the mids and upper mids, not in the sub region. If there's boxiness around 250 to 500 Hz, make a small dip there. Here's a really useful test. Listen to the arp solo, then bring back the drums and bass. If you only like it in solo, it's probably too big. If it still feels clear when the full rhythm section is playing, then you're in a good place. Now let's add some density with saturator. Put saturator after EQ8. Use just a little drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB. Turn on soft clip if needed. The goal here is not obvious distortion. The goal is to help the arp feel more present without simply turning it up louder. That's a big headroom win. Be careful not to overdo it. Too much saturation can make the upper mids harsh and can create ugly peaks. A little bit goes a long way. Now for space. The best move is to use return tracks for echo and reverb, instead of putting them directly on the arp and washing it out. That keeps the dry arp punchy and gives you more control. On one return track, an echo. Try a time of 1/8 or dotted 1/8, feedback around 15-30%, and high pass the delay return so the echoes don't fill up the low mids. Keep the return dry slash wet at 100%, because this is a send effect. On another return, add reverb. Try a decay around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds, pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and a fairly high low cut. Again, keep it as a return so you can blend just the right amount. And this is a big one. Watch the return levels. Reverb and delay can eat headroom faster than people expect. If the space sounds huge but the mix starts collapsing, the first thing to check is often the return fader, not the master. Now let's add width carefully. You can use Chorus Ensemble for gentle width and movement, or Utility if you want to manage stereo more directly. The rule here is simple. Keep the low mids more centered, and widen only the higher content. Anything with low frequency energy can get messy fast when widened too much. Put utility at the end of the chain and check the width. Also check your sound in mono from time to time. In club playback, overly wide or facey arps can disappear or lose power. You want the arp to feel spacious, but still stable. Now for the part beginners often skip. Gain staging. Add utility near the end of the chain and use it to manage the level. Don't let every device add extra gain without noticing. Keep the arp in a supportive range. Think of it as atmosphere and motion, not the lead vocal of the arrangement. Work in context. Balance it against the kick, snare, hats, bass, and sub. A great arp by itself is not the goal. A great arp that helps the track hit harder is the goal. Now let's place it in the arrangement like a real drum and bass track. In the intro, use the filtered arp with light echo and a slowly opening cutoff. In a breakdown, give it more reverb and maybe a little more chord movement. Before the drop, open the filter, reduce delay feedback a touch if needed, and maybe lift the octave for a bit of lift. Then, in the drop, strip it back so the drums and bass take the front seat. The big idea is automation. Move the filter cutoff. Change the send amount to delay and reverb. Shift the arpeggiator rate or gate if needed. Nudge the octave. Even change note velocity. That movement keeps the arp alive without making it louder. And if you really want more control, resampling is a great option. Freeze and flatten the arp or resample it to audio. Audio is easier to edit, easier to fade, and easier to chop into phrases. You can reverse a tail into the next section, fade the ends cleanly, or pitch a little slice up for extra tension. That kind of editing is very jungle, very effective, and very useful for transitions. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't make the arp too bright. If it sounds exciting in solo but starts fighting the snare and hats, it's too bright. Second, don't leave too much low end in it. This layer should not compete with the sub. Third, don't drown it in reverb. Big reverb is tempting, but it can destroy headroom fast. Fourth, don't use too many notes at too fast a rate. Busy patterns turn into mush quickly. And fifth, don't ignore mono compatibility. Wide sounds can sound amazing in headphones and then disappear in a club if they're too facey. If you want a more advanced jungle flavor, here are a few great moves. Try minor 7THS or minor 9THS for darker harmony. Add a suspended second or fourth if you want more tension. Use a subtle noise layer under the arp and high pass it hard to create a grainy halo. Or make a two-layer arp setup. One narrow, filtered, and mid-focused. The other higher, lighter, and wider. That often sounds better than trying to force one patch to do everything. You can also create rhythm contrast by using the same notes with two different arp rates. For example, one layer on 1/16 for steady motion, and another on 1/8 or dotted values for a slower echo-like answer. That gives you a call and response feel, without raying a second melody. Here's a quick practice exercise. Build a 4-bar loop with wavitable, arpeggiator at 1/16, a simple A minor idea, auto filter, EQ8 with a high pass around 200 Hz, light saturator, a touch of echo on a return, and utility at the end. Then add a drum loop and a sub bass. Adjust the arp until it supports the groove instead of fighting it. If you want to challenge yourself, make two versions of the arp. One dark and filtered. One more open and airy. Keep both quieter than you think you need. Then compare how each one affects the track. So let's wrap it up. A jungle arp that keeps headroom intact is all about control. Start with a simple synth tone. Use the arpeggiator for motion. Remove low end with EQ. Shape the brightness with auto filter. Add density with light saturation. Keep delay and reverb on returns. Check mono. Watch your gain staging. And arrange the arp so it evolves over time instead of just looping endlessly. Do that, and your arp will bring in that rolling, eerie jungle energy without wrecking your drums and bass. That's the sweet spot. If you want, I can also turn this into a screen Ableton walkthrough, a preset style device chain, or a MIDI pattern example you can follow bar by bar.